When it comes to personal finance, there are a lot of different numbers to keep tabs on. The numbers in our checking account, in our savings account, various retirement accounts, investment accounts. All of them are important, but there is one number specifically that can determine just how successful you are in building your assets for the future. Your net worth. I love your net worth number. Joining us to talk about this is Leslie Ann Scorgi. She is the founder of MeVest, mevest.ca.com.
.ca.
A money school for Canadians offering one-on-one money coaching and employer programs. Hello there.
Hello.
Why should people be concerned about your net worth or even know what it is? Because if you were to survey a room of 100 people, I don't know what percentage you would say. What, 10% would have ever done a net worth calculation?
I would say maybe 10 or 15%.
Yeah.
So net worth is important because it is the measure that you want to grow. It's your assets minus your liabilities. So let's break that down just for a second. Assets are, of course, things that you own.
Yes.
And liabilities are things that you owe money on.
Right.
And if we're reducing our debts and increasing what we own, we're growing that net worth number. That's the thing that's going to fund your future. So you should pay attention to it.
I've been doing a net worth calculation every year since 2001. Mm-hmm. And I print out the pieces of paper because I've changed computers so many times. And it's so fascinating to see how that number evolves over time, in particular for people who've owned real estate in
That's right.
How do you think about the real estate component of it? Because in some major markets, that's really skewed, the net worth thing. And people might feel wealthier than they should, given that they hit the real estate lottery.
We see it all the time where people are feeling rich because of their homes.
Right.
And yes, traditionally, real estate does have a place in your net worth statement. It is a large component of your asset category. But we want to put it in its rightful place. It is not something that will produce an income for your eventual retirement. So just treat your house as a house. It's
right.
A place that you live. You definitely want to pay down that mortgage, but it is not a cash machine. And that's where we see people in expensive markets like Toronto and Vancouver really running into trouble. They're taking the equity out of their homes and they're chalking that up to wealth. Mm. And that's not real wealth. Real wealth is assets like investments that generate an income for you for the future.
You have some rules of thumb. Now, there's a lot of debate about rules of thumb. I happen to like them, even though you can take any rule of thumb and break it down and find 12,000 reasons why it doesn't apply. But I like them because they're a starting point.
Right.
So you have a rule of thumb on Canadian households and a rule of thumb around assets people will need for retirement based on a certain income. You're saying $2 million by age 65.
Average Canadian household is going to need about $2 million to have an enjoyable retirement. Now, we are not talking about wild treks to foreign countries for many, many months every year. This is an average lifestyle. So $2 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been relying on your house as your core asset. What we want to do is diversify that and include assets that are going to total $2 million by the time you hit the age of 65.
Right. So you have a glide path here. You work backwards. At the age of 30, here are the numbers that I have. You tell me if this is what you said. Age 30, $70,000. Age 40, $300,000. Age 50, $700,000. These seem massive. For some people, they'll be like, they've swerved off the road because they're listening to SiriusXM in their car.
One, there's actually a few things.
Don't do that.
Mute.
Everybody,
focus.
10 and 2
no
on the steering
distracted
wheel.
Driving. What you want to do here is break these numbers down because for many, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have 70,000 at 30 or 300 at 40, but you might actually be a lot closer than you think. So most people have access to employer pension plans if they are working in a traditional employer setting. So that is one of your sources of those assets.
Right.
The second is we have these wonderful tools called RRSPs and tax-free savings accounts. If you have been diligent in saving through automation, you might have a little nest egg there. And then the third component, if you have an interest in real estate, you may have gone out and bought some kind of income-producing property, and that is also considered an asset.
Are these numbers an individual or a couple?
I like to think of them as a household. Now, everybody's future is designed by them. So 2 million might be way more than what a couple would need in retirement because they live a more simplistic life. And perhaps they actually live in a place in Canada that does not require so much of their money to go out the door every month in housing costs.
Mm. And they make their own shoes.
Yeah. So we have those scenarios, and they might be looking at that number saying, no, I actually need probably close to $500,000. Then you have the scenario where there's households that are big spenders. They have cottage, house, two cars, travel on their mind, putting their children through school, and maybe they're helping their kids buy houses.
Right.
Now we're talking about a net worth number by the time they're ready to retire, much greater, two or three times what we just talked about.
Wow. One of the things that young people have on their side is time. So if we were to think about that, you know, $700,000 number, which is where you say someone would want to be at age 50, a good portion of the glide path from 700 to 2 million, and really the glide path over the course of time is going to be interest.
That's right. So we have that good old fashioned rule of 72, which basically means that your money should double every 7 years, 7.2 years. So from the age of 50 to the age of 65, when you retire, there should be two doubling periods. What I want to focus on, though, is the power of compounded interest and reinvested returns starts early. So the more you invest early, the more you give it time to build up on your behalf. It is a wonderful tool. We want to take advantage of it. And really, you also need to be very well invested. So you need to be on top of your investment advisor, watching your rate of return and ensuring every single month that goes by that your investments are a reflection of your correct risk profile and that you have a good investment advisor looking out for you as well as yourself.
So the call to action here for all of our listeners out there is to do a net worth statement. So
that's
what you own minus what you owe, and then you're going to have that actual net worth number. Any pitfalls in terms of that basic math? I mean, for a lot of people, as long as you're going through the checklist, it doesn't seem like that hard a thing to do.
Really, I would open up a Google sheet and make this super simple. List everything that you own and you owe. It's so simple. And then if you need help with that math, it's okay. We actually have some tools on our website, mevest.ca. You're welcome to download those net worth calculation spreadsheets or call a friend.
Right.
Call a friend. This is a very simple equation that you can do on your phone. You can do it right in the Google sheet. Don't make this more complicated than it needs to be. The second part is that you need to see that number grow. If the number is not growing every single month, and then every year, you're doing something wrong. So let's have a look at that. And that is a very different set of actions that you want to take. Remember, you have two levers. You can only pull the debt lever, so pull it down, or grow your assets. When you combine them, that's when we get a lot of net worth growth.
And, you know, just before we go here, the real estate market can mask some kind of poor financial behavior, because
absolutely,
if you've seen this $300,000 in an increase in your house, mm-hmm, who cares that you've increased your credit card debt by 20 grand? Because it's all a wash. Whereas you and I would be like, wah!
Right. We see that, and it's very frightening. Just remember, your house is not an ATM machine. That is bad, bad financial planning.
Don't do that. Leslie Ann, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Leslie Ann Scorgi is the founder of MeVest, mevest.ca, a money school for Canadians offering one-on-one counseling and a whole bunch of online resources, as she said.